Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode 307 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I want to talk about the confusing nutrition labels on food products in the U.S. These required labels seem helpful on the surface, but what's frustrating as a nutrition professional is that some of the information required on these labels, specifically the daily value, is not only confusing, but also pointless. Most people assume that information listed on a nutrition label is important and accurate. Those numbers listed are there to help you make healthy food choices based on various health goals and to understand what may be more nutritious compared to something else. But while the intention is to be helpful, the daily value information is total garbage. Not only does it mislead people and even medical professionals lacking nutrition training to believe their diet is healthier than it is, but it also scares people into thinking that they're consuming too much of a particular nutrient because the daily value looks astronomical. So I want to explain how the daily value has evolved since its inception in 1968 and why following it is one of the worst moves you can make in terms of your diet and nutrition. I know that these are strong words and might sound like I'm being melodramatic or sensational, but I'm not. The daily value is literally that bad, so let's talk about it. To provide context to my sentiments on why the daily value is so pointless, we need to look at the historical evolution of the daily value, when and how it was created, as well as the role it was supposed to serve. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to understand where I and other nutrition professionals who are critical of the daily value are coming from. Not just parrot sound bites that may do well on social media, but ultimately do nothing to help you make smarter choices. Or to know why a medical or nutrition professional's recommendations are valid or even potentially rooted in inaccurate information. So in order to discover some key points and problems about the daily value, we have to jump back to 1941 when the U.S. National Research Council was tasked with helping to establish a guide to follow in hopes of avoiding malnutrition or starvation from war or economic depression. This is where the daily recommended intake, or DRI, for nutrients and ultimately the recommended dietary allowance, or RDA, for different nutrients comes from. If you're not familiar with what an RDA is, it is, quote, the average daily dietary intake level that is sufficient to meet the nutrient requirements of nearly all 97 to 98% of healthy individuals in a particular gender and life stage group. Now, life stages considers age and, when applicable, pregnancy or lactation, end quote. Keep in mind that not all nutrients have RDAs, which is based on the estimated average requirements of a nutrient, also known as the EAR. Now, what you do need to know is that the RDA is supposed to be used as a metric or goal of nutrient intake specifically for healthy individuals, not for those who are sick or chronically ill. And they were intended to maintain good health based on the concept of consuming the minimum amount of a specific nutrient to avoid getting sick or disease. Talk about setting the bar low and shooting for a C- just to pass a test. That's essentially what I compare the RDA to. And the RDAs were originally created based on data from adult men from the 1940s. Now, granted, the RDAs are reviewed and revised every 5 to 10 years, but there are many, including myself, who would argue that the levels are still too low and not actually in line with maintaining optimum health. From the RDA, the daily value or daily value percentage was created in 1968 with a few additions in 1989. When the FDA started requiring nutrition labeling in 1972, nutrition scientists felt that the daily values would be a good addition, even though the data behind calculating these numbers, again, was based only on a standard for adult men. In 2015, growing concern began to boil over to a more public outcry about the U.S. government's involvement in nutrition guidance after the release of the 2015 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. While the government stated that the shifts were based on the latest research, experts felt that the changes were likely swayed by lobbyists and industry influence. In an article that was published in Time magazine, Dr. Walter Willett, who was the chair of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard School for Public Health, stated that, quote, "the current system opens the guidelines up to lobbying and manipulation of data." And Dr. Marion Nessel, a former chair of the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health at New York University, also shared that, quote, "there's a great deal of money at stake in what these guidelines say." Even Dr. Robert Lustig, whom I interviewed here on the Healthy Skin Show, found that the 2015 guidelines to, quote, "eat more carbs and avoid fat" is exactly backwards if you want to improve health and lower body weight. Now, I share this to point out that there have been a variety of concerns that have been growing over time with how the U.S. government handles nutrition recommendations. So, back to the daily value saga. It wasn't until 2020 that the daily value numbers got officially updated. So until that point, the information on all nutrition labels was basically from 1968 and 1972. That's at least 48 years of no updates, despite nearly five decades of more nuanced nutrition data. Some changes made to the daily values by the FDA in 2020 included removing vitamins A and C from being mandatory to be listed on labels. And additionally, some nutrients saw their recommended daily intake shift higher or lower on a variety of vitamins and minerals, as well as a shift in the daily value for fiber. And so you're not confused when you see daily value percentage on a label. This value is the amount of a specific nutrient in a single serving of a particular food that will ultimately be added into your total daily diet. The daily value percentage information assumes that you consume a 2,000 calorie diet. So what happens when you look at a specific nutrient like vitamin B12 on a nutrition panel and the daily value is listed as 250%? Does that mean that one serving of the food product or that particular food has an astronomical amount of B12 in it? It sure does look like it. Especially if you don't look at the actual amount of B12 in the serving. But even then, you need to know that the actual amount of B12 in this product is minimal. As a real-life example, I looked at the B12 in an energy drink. I'll add the graphic in the show notes so that you can see exactly what I'm talking about. The daily value for B12 on the nutrition label clocks in at 250%, yet the actual amount listed comes in at 6 micrograms, which for the record is a very small amount. So in reality, the daily value is misleading because it's entirely possible that an amount higher than 100% would scare someone into thinking that they're potentially overconsuming a specific nutrient. This is really silly once you learn that the daily value is actually based on the minimum amount of a nutrient necessary for a healthy person to avoid illness. So let's talk about some additional problems with the daily value, and those include, first of all, no differentiation between ages is made since the percentage daily value is assumed to be the same for everyone ages 4 and up. Last time I checked, I'm not 4 years old. I assume you're not 4 years old, and so I think it's safe to assume that my nutritional needs are different throughout my life. Nutritional needs do, in fact, shift at different life stages, so this type of one-size-fits-all approach falls short. Secondly, basing the percentage daily value on a 2000 calorie diet is also a problem when we factor in activity level and age ranges. Even in children, we see a huge variation between, say, a moderately active boy who should consume around 600 calories versus a 14 to 17 year old boy who needs closer to 2400 to 2800 calories daily. Third, studies on the use of the daily value show that most people struggle with understanding and applying percentages, so that it would make it more difficult for people to even figure out when they've hit their nutrition goals in any given day. Third, studies of the use of the daily value percentage show that most people struggle with understanding and applying percentages. So that would make it more difficult for people to figure out when they've actually hit their nutrient goals on any given day. And fourth, the daily value provides a false sense of getting optimal nutrition, especially if you're chronically ill. Most of the daily value for various nutrients are far lower than I would recommend to clients or even potentially to a healthy individual. Basically, the daily value is shooting for the lowest level you need to avoid illness. Why is that something to aim for? It seems absolutely ridiculous and sad that in this day and age, with all of the technology that we have at our fingertips, that the US nutrition recommendations have anchored a 100% value based on the bare minimum. So with that said, ignore the entire daily value percentage column on food labels. Don't use it to guide any sort of nutritional decision, especially when it comes to nutrient intake. I never bother to look at it as a clinical nutritionist for these exact reasons. So save yourself from wasting the time and energy of giving any sort of credence or power to these numbers, especially when its goal is to help you just barely not get sick. If you've got any questions or thoughts to share about this, or you want to see all the research, head on over to skinterrupt.com/307 so we can keep the conversation going. And if you found this episode helpful, share this with someone else who needs to hear this and gets tripped up by worthless values that don't mean what we think they do on these US nutrition labels. Before you head off for your day, take that moment to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show on your podcast platform. Then hit the subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research, clinical tips, alternative strategies, and the inspiration you need on your journey to rebuilding healthy skin. And then let's connect on Instagram. I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to digging deeper with you in the next episode.